And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. With me is Phil Condon. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
I just explained to somebody a while ago you're actually Philip. I don't know if I can keep it up. Philip.
No.
We won't do that.
Yeah.
All right. Today we're going to talk about Syria, and then we're going to blend in a discussion with Steve Gowans later on about who rules America, I guess would be a good broad title. But we're going to be speaking shortly, we hope, with Steve Sahuni. He has a great website called busla.net/EN. And it's very important to us because Steve Sahuni is in Syria. And all the reporting on Syria gets mostly, and certainly English language, certainly radio, television, is done through interviews with people who are not in Syria, but who know all about it and explain continually what they know. We will also be talking later with Zafar Bengash. We're going to focus on all the obvious points here. Phil, we might get it a quick announcement. The different book lists
has two book launches this week, Prison and Social Death by Joshua Price. And that is on Thursday, December the 3rd at 7 o'clock at a different book list.
December the 3rd, different book list.
Prison and Social Death, an engaging, thought-provoking analysis of the continuing U.S. prison crisis. And, of course, whatever it says about the U.S., you can say about Canada as well. Then on Friday night at a different book list, there's Rap and Roll, and that is by Dalton Higgins. And this is a book launch, and the author will be there, an international performing arts and music concert presenter. Okay, there you go. That's Thursday and Friday night at a different book list, 746 Bathurst at 7 p.m.
Very good. I appreciate that.
Best bookstore in Toronto. Soon it'll be the only bookstore in Toronto. But
you can tell the health of a city by how many bookstores you got. I would just tell you, of course, we expect to be speaking with Stephen Sahuni, and the site is busla.net/EN. And
can you spell Busla?
B-O-U-S-L-A.
Thank you.
.net. And the other sites that we're going to be associated with, of course, we'll be speaking with Stephen Gowans. That's gowans.wordpress.com if you want to do your homework before the quiz. And then later it would be Zafar Bengash, and that is crescent-online.net. I just mentioned that do we have Stephen Sahuni with us? No, it'll be shortly. While we're waiting, I'll just mention that there's a New York Times article talking about how the U.S. Might move from Libya into Syria with the same project in mind. I think Stephen Sahuni is with us. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Stephen, thank you very, very much for joining us. We're quite proud of ourselves. We have reached a journalist in Syria. Your site is busla.net/EN. Now, can you tell us, let's just talk with the big story that we've been living with now since, I guess, the end of September, but that is the participation by the Russian government in the struggle against the terrorists who have been attacking Syria. First of all, what's your estimate of that involvement? Give us a picture of how that may have changed anything if it did.
The participation of the Russian military and the Russian government in the fight against terrorism was very important because one army is not enough to fight terrorists from 82 countries, supported by Turkey, supported by the Gulf countries, and supported by some European countries. So the Russian military helped very much and made a big progress. And today we are seeing big progress for the Syrian army on the ground because of the airstrikes by the Russian Air Force.
Mm-hmm. And particularly, I guess, in the region of northwestern Syria, that is where you have there's been a very vigorous effort on the part of those terrorists who are crossing the border from Turkey. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. The progress is in Idlib, Latakia, Aleppo, and Homs.
And about morale, how has this affected the mood of the Syrian people? You are one who encounters on a daily basis your fellow Syrians, and how are they reacting to the involvement of Russia?
Actually, when the Syrian government asked the Russian government to interfere and help in fighting the terrorism, and it was announced on the media, that gave big positive energy and hope to the Syrian people. And they started, the Syrian people start saying, thank you, Russia, thank you, Putin, because we really need help in Syria. One country, one army by itself is not enough to fight terrorists. As I told you, we have brutal murders supported by the Turkish government and supported by the Gulf countries.
Yes. I got the impression that their strategy of the Gulf monarchies and the great Western powers was really to kind of, I think they even used the word, to degrade, to wear down the Syrian forces to the point where they could take advantage. Now, obviously, the situation has changed. Could you also talk about the role of... These people called the coalition forces. They are sending warplanes into Syria. The British Parliament is debating, and they're going to take a vote on whether or not they will begin to attack Syria. What do you make of them, and what is their goal, in your view?
The West and America and Europe, they call them the moderate troubles.
The what?
The moderate troubles. They're moderate. Yeah. Uh-huh. So-called moderate. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to the beginning of the crisis, mm-hmm. when it was still called the FSA. Is a moderate trouble and is a revolution made by killing innocent people, by eating flesh, liver of human beings?
Yes.
By cutting off heads? Is that moderate troubles according to the European governments and to the... Who sold the American journalist Kayla Miller when she was in Aleppo to ISIS? Wasn't it the FSA? And there was media reports on it.
Mm-hmm.
She was sold by the FSA to the ISIS. They are working with each other. When the American government sent so-called 50 fighters of moderate troubles from Turkey into Aleppo, and immediately they give all of their American weapons. The second they came in to ISIS and they pledged allegiance to ISIS, are those moderate troubles? I don't think so. Yeah.
And to me, the obvious question for all these people who in the West, in Paris and London, New York or Washington, they say that they want to fight ISIS. However, they were bombing, the U.S. was bombing for a year with no reduction in the capacity of ISIS. So what were they doing?
America and the coalition, so-called coalition, they're fighting ISIS, or they claim fighting ISIS. Why did the Americans and the West did not see the 1,000 oil caravans going from ISIS to Turkey? Why did the Russians see it? Does the Russian have more technology than the Americans? I don't think so.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, go right ahead.
Next, in the last few days, the coalition airstrike did an airstrike on Aleppo. What did this hit? Where it pumps water that feeds the city of Aleppo water. How is it? How does that harm ISIS? They're harming the Aleppo people. Yeah. They harm the Aleppo, the citizen. They never bombed the storages. They never bombed the storage, weapon storages or the oil storages or headquarters of them. They bombed where it pumps water from the river into the city of Aleppo, so the citizen can drink. How is that harming ISIS? Mm-hmm. They're doing a favor for them.
Mm-hmm. To my mind, a major question, and I'd like to hear your thoughts about it, is this matter of the talking about intervening within the state sovereign state of Syria and carrying out armed attacks on targets, which are and where the Syrian government is not acknowledged, and the Syrian intelligence is not involved. If they were rational and did want to fight ISIS, you would think that the first thing you would have to do would be to coordinate their activity with the government of Syria. How else can they win?
There isn't any way they can win. The only way to win and to fight ISIS is that everyone on the Syrian ground, if it was the Syrian Arab Army or the Lebanese resistance or the Russians and the Western coalition, work together to fight ISIS. There isn't any other way. Mm-hmm. You cannot say, we're going to fight ISIS but without the Syrian army. The Syrian army is the legal Syrian legal from the Syrian people.
Yes.
And that's the most power, and today we're seeing on the ground. It has more, the power is towards the Syrian army, yes. Not to the other ones.
Yes. Now, by the way, they are using, certainly in propaganda work of the West, you see the word, they talk a great deal about the refugees, but wouldn't it also help if they were reopen their embassies so as to make it a rational process in which the Syrian government participates and people are secure? By sealing off, and Canada contributed to this, Canada withdrew recognition, basically, and closed embassies. That only exacerbates the problem of refugees, doesn't it?
Yes. When going for refugees, they went from Syria all the way to Europe because some of them they needed to. But if, as you said, if there was, if Germany and France and Britain and Canada and the United States had their embassies in Syria, in Damascus, coordinating with the Syrian government, all of this happening, right, could not happen. The French terrorist attack, the ISIS terrorist attack on France, Paris, it couldn't have happened. The Syrian government offered the French government 2 years ago the name of all the French terrorists. Mm-hmm. But the French refused to coordinate. That means the Europeans and the Americans, they do not want to work with the Syrian government, and they do not even want to fight ISIS. It's just a game. That is what it sounds like.
Yeah, that's a very important point. By the way, we're speaking to Stephen Sahuni, and the website is busla.net/EN. Stephen, the situation that has arisen with the shooting down by Turkey of a Russian plane, which was attacking terrorists near the border of Turkey, but it was shot down. Now, I'd like to know two things. What do you make of Turkey's motives? What do you think is going on with that? And I'll take a follow-up after that.
Yeah. The motives of the Turkish is, as Putin said today, it looks like that Turkey, they shot down the Russian planes because they wanted to protect the caravans of oil going from ISIS going to Turkey. Mm-hmm. From five years until now, the war on Syria, and the Turkish have been aggressively attacking Syria by sending weapons, training terrorists, funding, helping, giving information to the terrorists all in Aleppo and Idlib and Latakia and all over. Mm-hmm. The Turkish have the hatred on Syria, and it's not new. It's not only from just 5 years. Through history, mm-hmm. The Turkish empire have occupied Syria for 400 years. Like it's, in history, Turkey hates Syria,
yes.
And now they want it, and now they still hate us. Like it's nothing new.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is this background of the Erdogan and his people having dreams of a new. They like to be called the New Ottomans, I take it. Now, a question about that as well. There is, leading up to this incident of the shooting of the plane, Turkey was starting to talk about creating a buffer zone inside Syria territory, and no-fly and all that. Do you think this is also involved in why they shot that plane down?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think so. Because Erdogan, from the beginning, he's been asking NATO and he's been asking the West to make a no-fly zone in the north of Syria. Uh-huh. But also, but let's face it, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. Syria is not Libya. Syria is not Iraq. Syria has a strong army, even with all of the, after 5 years, it has a still strong army, air defenses, and also it has loyal friends. Iran, Russia, Hezbollah, and mm-hmm. and others around the world. Like, it's not easy for, like, if NATO and Turkey think yes. About doing the no-fly zone, it might cause World War III.
It's not Libya. You're right. I mean, by the way, isn't Libya, for the population of the Arab population, the Muslim population, actually all the what we used to call the third world, we don't hear the expression much, but third world sees that Libya was a lie. They said it was the no-fly zone to protect civilians, and it turned out to be a bombing mission by NATO to change the government.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't be fooled twice, I hope, and that seems to be the case. Could you tell us, who are the – I assume that Turkey is going to start talking about a minority group called the Turkmen, and they are in this region. Can you tell us quickly who they are, and are they Syrians, for example?
Turkmens are Syrians, have complete Syrian citizenship, complete Syrian rights. They have jobs, they have houses, they have some of them are government employees. They were not oppressed. They were with the Syrian people. They're a part of the Syrian people, just like Christians, Muslims, Syriani, Ashuri, all of that. All of this, like Syria, has 18 different sects,
mm-hmm.
not one or two. 18 different. They are part of the Syrian people,
mm-hmm.
but they go back in through history. They go back to a city in Middle Asia called Turkmenistan.
Uh-huh.
Their language is close to Turkish. It's not Turkish, but it's close to Turkish.
Mm-hmm. And what can you tell us quickly too? And we're close to the end. How is the Syrian army doing in that region? Because I assume with this increased Russian air power, it's the Syrian army would be in a far more advantageous position to clarify the border issue. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. The Syrian army has been since the Russian air force have been bombarding and killing the terrorists in the north suburbs of Latakia, have advanced the Syrian army with their allies on the ground, like the Syrian Social Nationalist Party, Hezbollah, the Home Defense, and other groups have been fighting terrorists in that area and have been taking out strategic mountains like the village of Ghammam, the mountain of Kashkul, Kitaf Ghanme, Jebel Ahmar, all of that mountain, strategic mountain that is very, very strategic and very important. Now are in the hands of the Syrian army, and we are very, very close. The Syrian army is very, very close to taking over the village of Selma and other regional areas from the terrace in north of Latakia.
Yeah. Well, it's very encouraging news. And as Stephen Sahuni, you have a great website, Busla, BOUSLA.net/EN. We're very grateful. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you very much, and it's an honor for me.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Stephen Sahuni, and again, it's BUSLA.net/EN. I get the same impression that that a lot of this feverish activity coming on from Washington and bizarre rhetoric, which, is, of course, goes with all American feverish activity, has to do with the successes of the, first of all, Syrian state and then its ally, Russia, who responded to a legal request The other people flying over Syrian airspace were not invited, and that's going to be an important detail to watch. And we have been raising that with a number of people.
You know, Phil, there's one thing about the so-called rebels who were in the area where the Russian pilot was shot down. There was a guy who appeared on television claiming to be that he was one of these Turkmen rebels, but he has been identified as the son of a mayor in a Turkish city and as a prominent right-wing nationalist from Turkey.
A member of the Grey Wolves, which you remember that they were suggested they had participated in the attempt on the life of the last pope.
That's right.
Pope but one. Yes. I got to keep track of my popes.
Two popes back.
I'm,
right?
I'm two popes in a hole.
Yeah.
All right. Now, and we're going to be talking to Stephen Gowans of gowans.wordpress.com. There was some additional matters to do with that. Just to reinforce what Stephen Sahuni was saying, I want to make sure we say that sealing the border is what's key. But this is going to be a big crunch because so far until Syria, our guest said this is not Libya. He's right. But since Libya, this will be the first time that no has won out over yes. So this is very important for us to all to follow. And definitely we need to talk about this precipitous closing of embassies, which is basically a way of saying we don't recognize that government, which when you do that, you incite people to act against it. And someday we'll take that up in greater detail. That's an important matter.